is the River Cats Report. What's going on with the Giants AAA squad? The River Cats Report.
All right, Dave, let me tell you about the River Cats Report.
Tell
Those
me.
Cats.
Meow.
They have won four of their past six, so let's go. They're streaking. They're getting hot at the right time. They've hit home runs in each of their past six and nine of their past 10 games. So you want to go out to the park and see some dangers.
Dang.
Check out your River Cats. But also, they got some other things for you to do because the River Cats host the Reno Aces starting at Tuesday, August 1st. You can always get all your tickets, any kind of promotional things coming up at rivercats.com. But for more incentive, we got to get you out to the park. Guess what's coming? It's
what?
Marvel Defenders of the Diamond Knight.
Oh, my God.
That returns a week from Saturday. You get to maybe pregame meet and greet with Captain America and Black Panther with the Defenders of the Diamond ticket pack. So a lot of different things going out there with River Cats. And we've said it before many times. It's a good time out there at the park.
It is. It's
got
it really
good
is.
Baseball here. Connected to the Giants. Still a great park after all these years. I mean, you think about it. 20 plus years.
Yep.
Park has held up.
Beautiful.
It's a good
park.
Time out. So go out and support.
Get out.
You're
go.
River Cats.
You know, normally I'd give you an A grade for that report, Jason, but I'm a little disappointed in you this morning talking about dangers without mentioning Danger. You don't see Danger, too.
Oh, Danger. It's
the just mascot?
Implied.
No.
I feel like it was an implied Danger.
I feel like you have to go Danger before Dangers, and you went Dangers before Danger.
Personal foul, implied dinger on the offense. That is a 10-minute penalty. First inning. That's his call. I stuck up for you. Go to review.
Am I done for 10 minutes?
No.
Also, you sticking up for him?
Wow, technical
foul on you.
I just got a technical foul.
All I said was,
come find me. See what happens.
What do you get to do with that?
Yeah, those aren't hedge clippers.
That's kind of a veiled insult to Jay if you really think about it.
No kidding.
Wow, sorry.
I mean, could be accurate, but still. But we didn't talk about those things anymore.
All right, go out and see Dinger.
Yeah, go out and see Dinger. Yeah. And the Dingers.
Yes.
Dinger and the Dingers.
Yeah.
Sounds like a 50s band.
Yeah, it does.
Dinger, they sing that thing you do.
Hey, and dare I say, a lot more affordable than going to the A's game next weekend.
Yeah, we're gonna mention that. I wanna start with the A's and their renderings for a new stadium.
Oh.
Remember when we saw the renderings for that Vegas stadium and there was a lot of experts that were saying you can't do that on 9 acres.
Yeah.
It's physically impossible. Well, it turns out the A's are like, you got us.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and throw it away. Throw those in the trash. Now listen, whether it's Golden One Center, whether it's the proposed stadium for Sac Republic, which we'll talk about later when we have Marcos Breton on, and the mayor. Marcos will be joining us at 7:27, the mayor at 8:43. It is fairly normal for initial renderings of a stadium / arena to be different and sometimes markedly different from the final product.
Sure.
That's
–
but a design team hasn't even been picked for the stadium.
Mm.
There will be a final choice made around November, which means nobody knows what the building will actually cost until then. When a construction management firm will analyze both proposals and arrive at projected price tags. According to A's Director of Design, Brad Schrock, sounds like a Flintstone, you saw renderings in the newspaper. Wad those up for now. We are really encouraging them to think creatively about the different ways to solve the problem. It'll be fun to see what we get back. There is a teachers group now that is trying to block the stadium and get a deal overturned via referendum. The Las Vegas Review-Journal, which is now being accused of being in the pocket of the A's and the governor, blocked the teachers group on Twitter. Then, after pressure, apparently unblocked them, but they're calling them stadiums over schools, which is literally the exact opposite of what they're doing. And it just goes to show you this is this is incredibly scammy.
Yeah.
But that's not all. That is not all, Jason Ross, because on top of that, there is another Sell the Team night.
Yes.
Coming up.
Planned for the Giants and A's, right?
Yeah, planned for the Giants and A's. Here's the fun part, though. The A's have decided to use dynamic pricing. And now tickets to go see the A's play at this this sell the team game, they're now more expensive than opening night.
This doesn't sound like John Fisher.
The cheapest ticket to the next reverse boycott, the cheapest ticket, we're talking like sitting upper row, third deck type of thing, is $44. The average get-in price for the A's is $10. They have more than quadrupled. Saw that, Jay. More than quadrupled the price.
Shut up.
They have more than quadrupled it. And that didn't include all the parking, yeah, fee, none of that.
Someone's got to pay for the artist renderings.
I did double check that on Ticketmaster. So you are correct. It is $44. The next game against the Giants. So that's the August 5th through 6th series, right?
Yeah.
So 44 for that game, 27 for the second game, too. Every game after that, every single remaining home game, and against some really good teams, by the way, $10.
What is the old adage, like, if you're willing to steal for me, you're willing to steal from me, therefore I cannot trust you? At what point does, at what point do baseball fans and baseball in general, at what point do they say, if they're doing this to Oakland fans,
right,
but for the grace of God,
mm-hmm,
and this is, it's, they're not hiding it anymore.
Yeah,
Jason.
Yeah. I know it was the week you were gone. I was working in Vegas, and I told Jay this, very informal, unofficial, but between Uber and cab drivers, it was universal. Everyone, I would just start asking, yeah, what do you think about the, like, yeah, you know, we want baseball. We just, I don't trust that owner. We don't want that team. That team's terrible. Or there was one guy, his plan, he's like, yeah, I think we should bring him here, have him play AAA for a while, mm-hmm, and then if they earn, I mean, everybody had like a different thought, but none of it was, yeah, we want the A's here. It was, we would like baseball. We'd like an expansion team, or more of the thought of, we don't want this owner. We don't trust him. Why are we paying for this? There was a lot of that. Again, small, small sample size, but that was, there was nobody that was fully on board.
My guy, Steve Cofield, who does Cofield & Co. Yeah. for ESPN down there, was on with him a couple months ago, and they asked about it. And then I was really surprised because I had not talked to him about it. But to your point, he was like, yeah, we don't really want John Fisher here either. Mm-hmm. We want baseball.
Yep.
But we'd rather have an expansion team. What's funny is they're in a bad spot now because you get the feeling, and I think they're worried about this, that if they were to openly revolt and reject this, that baseball might punish them,
yeah,
and not put them up for the next expansion round.
Yeah, it's a weird thing because I think right now you can tell that the number one thing fan-wise is the Golden Knights because that's theirs.
Absolutely.
Like, they, Raiders are fine.
Yes.
But the Knights are their team.
That's right.
So home they grown. Really love that.
Homegrown. And champions.
If they got the Las Vegas whatever baseball team, not the A's,
sure,
that would be their team, and I think they would be all in as well.
I think if they were asked, would you rather have expansion or would you rather have the A's and John Fisher, I think it would be something like, and if that meant you had to wait, let's say, 4 more years.
It might be 99%.
Seriously, for real. They would wait in order to get something else. And this just goes back to something I just hope I see before I die. You know, there is a way. There is an actual possible way to block this move and to keep the A's in Oakland, along with a lot of other things. But it ain't easy.
Mm-hmm.
But I really do hope before you and I pass from this earth that at some point, fans with social media and the way we are all connected now, that fans will understand that they have all the power. It's not the owners. It's not the players. The most powerful entity are fans. The only thing that keeps fans from controlling everything is a lack of organization and infrastructure. And what I mean by that is if there is ever a situation where you're able to get a literal fan union where season ticket prices have a dollar added for dues, whatever it may be, and you're able to boast a membership in the hundreds of thousands, and you're able to organize boycotts, you're able to organize picketing advertisers, sponsors, reverse boycotts, whatever, yeah, it may be, this would be one of those situations where if Major League Baseball, and it's going to happen someday, and it's going to be viral. It's going to be something that nobody thought would happen. And maybe it's going to be this, because you're seeing.
This is growing.
It is growing. That use, if all of a sudden, baseball fans all over the country say, you know what, we're not going to another game until you switch this. And it's not 1,000 people per team. It's 10,000 people per team. And all of a sudden you see emptier ballparks, even season ticket holders biting the bullet and saying, you know what, this is worth it. We're not going. Even if it was just for one day, the loss of concession, the loss of parking, the loss of overall revenue, other owners are going to say, oh my God, I've said it before. If you start having 10, 15, 20 people boycotting outside of every A's sponsor, every single one, those sponsors get nervous. When those sponsors, especially when they have a point of sale business where you have customers going in and out and they see, don't support Fred's Electronics because they support John Fisher and you're turning people away and you've got TV cameras out there and you've got all the negative advertising in the world and you pull the blanket off.
Yeah.
That works. You just have to have the organization. I really hope they're on their way to doing
hope
this.
So.
Because it is salvageable. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get to Three for Madness. We'll tell you more about that in just a second. But as I've been doing all week, fellers and fellettes, I want to remind you, my buddy Roy from Roy's Umbrella, he is back. He is back on 1140 at home at Sactown Sports. It's so good to have him back. You're hearing his spots run throughout the day. He is now here with his cape to fly in and save the day for so many of you that are struggling with credit card debt, debt of any kind. You're wondering what to do with your equity. You're worried about rates going insane. But he's always honest. He's always, always honest. And he has been for all the years he's been on this station. That's why he has a great reputation. And one of the things he's putting out there is jumbo lenders. Jumbo lenders are telling him that a declining markets list has been created in almost every county in Northern California is on it. Now, if a county's on that list, it means that's going to shrink the loan available to you. And the way you know this, jumbo lenders always move their guides first, is they're far more conservative in their lending than your lower loan amounts. Fannie Mae has already made one guideline change, extending the required seasoning from 6 months to 12 months on cash-out loans. What does that mean? That means more changes in the future that limit your ability to borrow against the equity you have. The time is now. And with foreclosures on the rise, almost 7,000 foreclosure starts in the state of California alone in the first quarter. That's up 3% from the previous quarter, up 29% year on year. Most in the country. Get your help. Go to roysumbrella.com, roysumbrella.com, or give them a call, 916-997-4434. And again, roysumbrella.com. Tell me, good buddy Carmichael, Dave Essentia. All right, we continue commercial-free sports talk radio here on Sactown Sports. It's Three for Madness right now.
Three questions, three answers. It's Three for Madness on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Here's question one.
All right.
David, before we start,
yeah,
I need you to take a pledge on the air.
Nope.
Please.
Not doing it.
Come on.
You know what? Take a pledge on the air. I will punch my kid in the ear hole.
I'm not asking you to do anything nutso or anything that would perjure you.
I am aware of exactly what you're asking me. I will take that pledge.
Please take the pledge to answer question one.
It is nutso and it is terrible, but you know what? Just because I love you, I'll do it.
Let's give this a shot. Recently on his podcast, former All-Star Jeff Teague ranked James Harden over Dwayne Wade on his all-time shooting guard list. Both of you, please, make an argument in support of Teague's ranking.
Well, you know, recently marijuana was pretty much legalized in the National Basketball Association, and a lot of players have partaken. I'm not accusing Jeff Teague of anything, but do we know what show Jeff Teague was on, by the way, when he said this?
Or his own.
It was his own?
Yeah.
And I don't know what the name of his podcast is, but I'm expecting it's Pass the Dutchie to the Left Hand Side or Roll the Blunt. I don't know what it is, but you got to be high to make that statement. So I would say, if you're asking me to make an argument in support of his ranking James Harden above Dwayne Wade, it's because he was high. If you want an actual argument in favor of it. The only thing I can think of is Jeff Teague is a fantasy basketball player as well and was going purely off statistics. Because if you look at the numbers, James Harden scores more. He assists more. He rebounds more. So there's that. But other than a purely statistical comparison, you're talking about a player in Dwayne Wade who has won championships. You're talking about a player in Dwayne Wade who played his entire career with one team.
No.
Excuse me, most of his career with one team. That's right. He played with two teams, right?
Three.
Was it three?
Bulls, Cavalier and
Cavs.
Bulls.
Yeah, God, that's right. I forgot about the Bulls when he went home to that.
Ugh. But you remember the Cavs?
I did, weirdly enough. Well, apparently I forgot both. But, yeah, he played from the time he was 22 to 34 years old with Miami, did everything there. And then as he was winding down, Chicago 1 year, Cleveland 1 year, and then back to Miami for 2 years. So all but two seasons of his 15 came in Miami. Excuse me, 15 seasons out of 17 came in Miami. He was loyal. He was a great teammate. He never held the franchise hostage. And guess what? He's got rings around his finger for a reason. So unless you're making a purely statistical without context argument, the only time Dwayne Wade and James Harden should be in the same sentence is when somebody remarks, wow, James Harden, he's no Dwayne Wade. So that would be my defense.
All right. You have failed miserably.
What
Jason,
are you talking about?
Please make an argument for James Harden.
There's a great argument to be made for James Harden. James Harden at some point here, or he's already here on these three stats, if they matter to you at all. Currently, in the history of the game, 24 people have scored more points than James Harden. He's going to move up inside the top 20 very soon, probably inside the top 15 of all time.
Yeah.
He is currently in the top 20 also of all time in assists. He will currently and continue to move up in that in all time. And he is right now number three on his way to number two all time. He won't catch Steph Curry, but it made three-pointers. The point of the sport is to score, to make points. Yeah, he's failed to make a final. No, he made a final with the Thunder.
Yeah.
But look,
team around him, right?
Yeah, it's the team around him. And you know, Dwayne Wade has had a great career.
Great career.
But I think James Harden, not only statistically, I don't think he's an appealing style player per se, and I think there's a lot of stuff to throw at James Harden, but statistically, he's going to end up as one of the all-time great players, statistically.
Jason Ross, A-plus on the assignment. Congratulations.
Hold on. It's funny you say that. I actually have a picture of James Harden reporting to his career. It's right there in the middle. It's a lot like a Pringles can.
Yeah.
Filled with...
Is that Karl Malone?
Empty calories.
Oh,
kind of like French fried Dwayne Wade.
You're saying, are you comparing Karl Malone to James Harden?
Yeah, I mean, what's the difference?
True.
I don't know.
Charles Barkley also empty calories, correct?
Other than I'm not.
Patrick Ewing?
You know, I'm not.
Empty
gonna,
calories.
Okay, I'm glad we're moving on because I'm not putting me in a spot. I'm not defending Carl. I'll defend James Harden before Karl Malone.
No, we're not doing the person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, all empty calories, but not really. James Harden.
Barry Bonds also an empty calorie.
James Harden,
baseball
culture
player.
Guy.
James Harden, perhaps the most overrated player in NBA
ring
history.
Ring culture, Carmichael Dave.
Empty. Does he make his teams better?
Ring culture, Michael?
Makes
no.
The playoffs all the time.
He's the anti-Chris Paul.
Chris also
what?
Empty calories.
Chris Paul makes every single team he's on.
James Harden's always in the playoffs.
They've also had the same amount of finals appearances.
Yeah, but look at James Harden's teammates, too, usually.
Look at Chris Paul's.
Look at the team. No, I totally understand that. But also, let's not forget, Chris Paul was with the New Orleans Pelicans for many, many years, which was not surrounded by.
Yeah, Tyson
players.
Chandler.
Oh, excuse me. You're right.
NBA champion.
NBA champion.
Used to dance on couches in Sacramento clubs. True story, by the way.
Why do you guys love James Harden so much?
Huge fans.
Huge fan. Number two.
Question two.
According to ESPN's Adam Schefter, he received a text from an NFL head coach stating how much he hates the first 2 weeks of training camp because of injury potential and that the offseason needs to be restructured. Do you agree?
Well, I agree with the first part. I think my only response would be before I can agree is, okay, but what's the restructuring?
Yeah, I don't understand what that would be.
Give me the, is it no more?
At some point, you are starting a camp.
Yeah.
If there's more time, more runway, less time, it's starting somewhere with some sort of workouts.
Wouldn't that be the more runway thing be the obvious answer?
Give them more time?
No preseason games?
No, I mean, yeah, give them more time for training camp to get in shape, like ease them in more.
But would that also start, like, with Joe Burrow's? I mean, he was just rolling out.
He was rolling out.
Like, would his first practice, if it was 3 weeks ago,
you're also giving them more time, perhaps, you could argue, to get injured, to too.
Yeah.
We need statistics on this. You know, there are numbers, I'm sure, that are there.
Load manage.
Also, probably more bananas, more milk.
Yeah.
More stretchings. Got to stretch.
Yes. I feel like all quarterbacks, it should be mandatory yoga.
Yes. Just, yeah, Jason, just do the
stretch.
Oh, God, that feels actually feels really good.
And hold.
What is that muscle on the side of your chest? Is that your oblique?
Sure.
Or is it pronounced oblique?
I don't have it in there.
It's your obliqueus dorsi.
Yeah.
It's your Ken dorsi.
I agree.
Better muscle than quarterback, right?
And I don't like the idea of anyone getting hurt, much less hurt. If you're going to get hurt, at least get hurt in a game.
Yeah. Have they thought about playing two-hand touch?
Have they thought about putting them in those big air, the bubbles?
Yeah.
Where you bounce into
each other?
How
would you catch?
Very carefully. One-handed. Odell Beckham's the only guy.
He would be successful.
But at the same time, a little self-correction here. You know, yesterday my thing was, you know what, why even play games? Just why even play any preseason other than the cash grab? Mm-hmm. But then you have Sean Payton coming out and saying, yeah, Nathaniel Hackett didn't play any of his starters in the preseason last year. That's not happening. And you look at what Denver did last year, maybe Sean Payton's on to something.
To be fair, I think Sean Payton was going to fight anything that Nathaniel Hackett did and be like, this guy's an idiot. Here's why.
He
wore tennis shoes on the field.
Who does that?
I hear ya. All right. Number three.
Question three.
On this day.
Yeah.
In 1994, MLB players agreed to strike against the owners. Is this still the most remembered work stoppage in sports history?
I remember being crushed.
Yeah, I think we all were. That was like my first year I really started watching baseball. I was like 8 or 9.
There were so many memorable things that turned into a what-if year. Wasn't Griffey and Matt Williams going nuts?
Yep, the Expos.
Someone was going for 400. Gwynn, I think, was batting 390
wasn't
or
Matt
something.
Matt Williams doing something crazy that year, too? Or did you say that already?
I did.
Oh, sorry.
That's right.
I just rolled over it.
Yeah. James Harden was really killing it.
That was what, like 2 years into Selig's tenure? For a second, I thought it was Faye Vincent. But
thanks,
it was
Bud.
It was Jim Motti and Vincent that were doing the Pete Rose thing. I think so. That was, I think, what Donald Fear was the rep for the Players Union. I remember football strikes. I remember the scabs, you know, and all that, but barely.
The 99-50 game NBA season. But I think that's more because the Kings were good that we really remember that.
I agree with you. I think this was the one that really – by the way, that right there is an example of what a union can do when it's a proper union. Say what you want, but players made out quite well in future years because of that. And that's just something the NFL, unfortunately, will have to do if they ever want fully guaranteed contracts for everybody amongst other things.
Yeah. Was the 99 NBA one, was it Sprewell or Ewing or someone? Like, I got to feed my family too or something like that?
Sprewell.
No, well, that wasn't from the lockout. That was from he trying to get an extension with the Timberwolves.
Wasn't that Roger Mason that said, what was
that's
it?
That's
new season, who dis?
That's 2011, I
Oh,
believe.
Yeah, I guess so, because no. it was a Twitter DM.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. That would have been too early. You know, the other sports work stoppage that always sticks out in my head is, you know, me growing up watching Braves games and Cubs games on TBS and WGN in that era was when you had the Eric Greggs of the world umpires that were just like, I'm part of the game. This is back when they had the big, like, square pad chest protectors. They would chase managers into the dugout. It was basically like a bunch of Steve Javies, if you get that reference, his first couple of years, just ejection happy. And then the umpires got really big for their britches, and they went on strike. And I remember former A's exec Sandy Alderson came in, baseball came in, and they broke them.
Yeah.
They broke them, and most of those umpires never worked again in baseball. They were out, and nobody cared. And ever since then, the umpires – and I'm not necessarily saying this is a good thing. I just remember. And now they are, like, completely under baseball's thumb. They have no power whatsoever.
And they make all the right calls.
Crazy? So they decide – the players decide to strike on this day.
Yeah.
That same night, Kenny Rogers goes out and throws a perfect game in Texas.
And, yeah, gambler.
Wow.
Yeah, and a great country singer.
He knew when to...
Better country singer or pitcher?
Country singer.
Really? Oh, I mean, he threw a perfect, though.
Legendary.
It's great. Yeah, he threw a perfect game. Kenny Rogers sang a perfect song.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is such a thing?
And he was in the movie Six Pack.
Gambler. Yeah, he was in Lonesome Dove.
Yeah.
It was great.
I miss Kenny Rogers.
I miss him a lot. Met Kenny Rogers Chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roasters.
Yes. Yeah. It was great.
Good duets.
Pick the fine time to leave me, Lucille.
With Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton. Islands in the stream. Yeah.
No one in between. How can we
be wrong? Yes.
Sail away with me.
To another world.
Will we rely on each other?
Love Kenny Rogers and Sticks.
Yes. Love it. Just love it. Damn it.
Can we see more Kenny?
It's a Kenny Rogers Friday.
Yes, it is.
And he's American.
Just like American Energy. Boom. There.
Coward of the county.
Gosh, I miss.
That was good.
I miss Kenny.
Yeah.
Rogers.
Me too.
He was in We Are the World?
Yes.
One of the singers.
Wait, is that what? He's not alive?
Oh, my gosh. No, we lost him several years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe. Has it been 10?
Has it been 10? I know it's been at least 7.
Oh, I'm confusing him with Willie Nelson. Never mind. Bye.
Somebody asked me earlier if we still have yellow flags, which are at my home in my office right now, but I did find Jay's hairpiece. This is for you. God. American Energy Heating and Air. Making the uncomfortable comfortable and also maybe helping out your pocketbook. What? Not just with savings, but how about a job? Got to have J-O-B if you want to be with me. Well, okay. Go to American Energy. Heating and Air, a great local company that prides themselves with everything they do. They're now hiring technicians, looking for a new job. They'll train you. They'll coach you. Just imagine the guys out there with a whistle. Come on, you can do better. Do they have training camps? I don't know. Find out.
Great team.
They offer great pay, health benefits, retirement 401k, and even paid leave. And they're offering a sign-on bonus if you got experience. Hey, listen. What an opportunity for a really, really great gig working for awesome people, a great family-owned company. Call American Energy if you're interested. 916-520-9990. That's 916-520-9990. AmericanEnergyAir.com. Tell them Carmichael Dave Shencha. When we come back, big, possibly, Republic news yesterday. And we got the guy that broke the story from the Sacramento Bee, Marcos Breton, will join us next.
The Kings are running it back.
Hammers it off the dribble against Gobert, and he was fouled. Oh, my, what a take that time by Domantas Sabonis. It eludes Gobert. Drive strong. Two-hand flush off the dribble. Thrown down by Trey Lyles.
And welcoming some new faces.
Yes. Toby Jones with 2 more.
Now they go to Duarte in the corner for 3, and he rains it down.
Keep it locked on Sactown Sports at SactownSports.com for the latest Kings news. Michael Dave.
He has very good sources, and he just kind of tells it as it is and gets to the point.
Jason Ross.
He has a lot of pretty smart things to say.
He's good at what he does.
On Sactown Sports.
Sac Republic, despite injuries and injuries and injuries, are at the top of the standings, or dare I say, tables in the USL. Big, what was it, 4-0 the other night? Big win. But yesterday, you open up your friendly neighborhood copy of the Sacramento Bee, a paper I used to deliver in a canvas sack over the seat of my Univega mountain bike.
Wow. How accurate were you on the toss to the door, to the driveway?
Many times I was accurate.
Many.
Many.
But good percentage, not perfect.
Sometimes I was not. Sometimes I corrected it. Sometimes I had to be at school.
Not today.
Yeah, I was 12 years old, and you know what? The California Avenue, Marconi Avenue area of Carmichael, a little hilly sometimes. So did our best, and if you opened that up the other day or logged on this new thing called the intranet, you were able to see the lovely and talented Marcos Breton, who is now – risen from column inches in Metro, to sports to now he's an editor.
He's everywhere.
He's a suit now. Yeah. He's what he rallied against his whole life. He sold out.
Oh, wow.
Well, I don't mean that as a bad thing.
Okay.
I'm just saying he's a suit now. He's management, but still manages to break news. He's a great friend of ours going back decades now, as a matter of fact. And he joins us today. Marcos, it's Dave and Jason. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good.
You like that intro?
I am a complete and utter sellout.
Yeah, boy.
Everything I ever believe, I've sold it all out.
Can you even hold your head up at San Jose State anymore? Are you still a Spartan at heart, or have you given?
I am.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I was just on the. We are on a Zoom yesterday with the journalism department. We're going to get a pipeline of Spartans to the bees. So very much am.
So your article was, or should I say your piece, was wide-ranging yesterday, covering a lot of things. Congratulations to you for uncovering all of this and presenting it to the public, the public whose appetite is whetted for so many of these things. Let me ask you, the writer, you know, because you had an investor, you had the stadium being worked on. You had the idea of Sac State perhaps partnering with them. There were so many things that came out of this. What was the one that stood out to you, Marcos, as a longtime Sacramento resident?
Well, I mean, what stood out to me more than anything was that despite the big setback from 2021 when Ron Burkle backed out.
2 years ago yesterday, by the way.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
He backed out, left us all at the altar. Mayor Steinberg and Kevin Nagel, the owner of the Republic, had not given up on it when, you know, things had moved on, you know, and at one point Sacramento was ahead of San Diego in the line to get into MLS, and San Diego's been awarded a franchise, and they're going to join the league. While it seemed that Sacramento was, you know, kind of dead in this process, and you know, the mayor uses political connections to hook up with Fabian Nunez, who used to be the Speaker of the Assembly, really well connected, like one of the most powerful political consultants in California, and. Nunez brought Belinda Stronach to the table. She's a billionaire from Canada. She's got like major investments in horse racing all around the country. She's a member of parliament in Canada, you know? And the fact that that was still going on when Sacramento had been left for dead, I think, really stood out to me, and it still remains a great idea for Sacramento. And so the hope now is that this new group is going to be negotiating with MLS in the fall. You know, MLS has its annual meeting in December with all the owners, and it would be great if the idea of Sacramento joining the league was on the agenda, and so that's the goal, and so we're still alive.
So Marcos, when you know there's been starts and stops, different people involved here, but what would you say now from getting this idea to reality? What's the largest hurdle ahead for Sacramento?
Well, so the San Diego franchise that I just mentioned that was approved by the owners, it's the 30th franchise. So that's the limit right now for MLS. So if Sacramento is going to be considered to join the league, the owners would have to vote to expand the league beyond 30. So Sacramento had been in the mix to get into the league when it was still, you know, considered to only be a 30-team league. So now there'd have to be a whole other vote to make the league even larger. Now, it's not impossible. I mean, you know, Phoenix is still in the mix as well, and some other cities. So it could still happen. But part of that process, though, as we've all, anyone who's followed this thing as long as, well, the three of us have for a decade now, is that the purchase price, the franchise fee to get in the door has gone up substantially. The news reports for the San Diego franchise was that the Egyptian billionaire who's going to own the San Diego franchise paid in the vicinity of $500 million just for the franchise fee. That's a lot of money, yeah. You know, when a stadium now would probably cost as much. So these are all issues that are going to get discussed, and they're not insignificant, but they're also not insurmountable. And my hope is that having an owner from Canada, having a female owner, she'd only be the second female owner in MLS. I mean, the majority owner. There are other women in other franchises who are smaller investors, but to be the controlling owner would also work in the favor of Sacramento. And just the fact that Sacramento is a viable, exciting market, and we had the dang celebration downtown in the fall of 2019, thinking this was all done. The governor was there. So to close that loop would be really exciting.
Marcos Persona of the Sacramento Bee joining us. And as we mentioned, it was 2 years ago yesterday. It just so happens to be when all those pictures started rolling up on Facebook memories from the big press conference and Don Garber and all that. And you bring up a great point. There are a lot of hurdles here. And I know Kevin Nagel brought those up yesterday, both in your article, also on television. There's just cautious optimism. There's DRV down that owns the property, Larry and Denton Kelly. There's obviously this new investor. There's the city. There's MLS. There's Kevin. There's a lot of negotiating wheels that need to go on. Here's my question, Marcos, just doing the math that you brought up. So San Diego, $500 million. And you got to think in this day and age of $1, $2, $3 billion stadiums, let's say that there could be a stadium built for $500 million, which would be cheaper than Golden One Center a few years back. That's $1 billion between expansion fee and stadium. And according to Forbes, last year, the most valuable MLS team was LAFC at $900 million. So, you know, if this is a house, you're coming in on reverse equity. Now, I'm going to wrap up my long-winded question here. When Sacramento had Ron Burkle and was going to come into the league, the expansion fee they were expected to pay was somewhere just south of $200 million. You've seen it more than double. What I'm wondering, Marcos, and I'd love your instinct here, do you think there could be some sort of conversation with MLS saying, hey, listen, you gotta retroactive this deal. We're not paying $500 million, nor should we pay $500 million. It's not our fault Burkle backed out of this whole thing, and we got our guy now. This is a great market.
Yeah, and I think... I mean, those conversations are definitely going to happen, and I think the league could really clean up that mess from Burkle, because that's what it was, and you know it's done now. There's no point going back at this point, but that was just a black eye for everybody, and so the ability to make that right, I think it would be a great thing for the league and for Sacramento, and there's going to be negotiations on that front, and I also think there's potentially more the city could do to help the process, and it would be a great catalytic thing for the rail yards, which you know is not as underdeveloped as it once was, but it's not where we thought it would be, and everything was slowed down by the pandemic. So there's a lot, you know, the stadium is ready to go. All the entitlements have been done. So there's a lot working in Sacramento's favor that I think the MLS could look upon favorably and make a deal to make this happen.
That's Marcos Brenton the Great.
Yes.
Marcos Brodon producing. And this is why you support local journalism. Get the go to sacbeat.com, sign up. This is why. His national journalism is one thing, but it's guys like Marcos. It's guys like how Dale Kassler was before he rode off into the sunset, Tony Bijak, and sometimes, but rarely, Ryan Lillis. But there are actual journalists there that do wonderful work. And please do support local journalism because that's how you get great stories like this. Amigo, love you very much. Thank you so much, as always, for your hard work.
I appreciate it, and I appreciate you having a complete sellout on your show.
we'll talk to you soon, brother.
All right, thanks.
Take
care. That is Marcos Brodon. We are way late for a break. Don't forget, in almost exactly an hour, the mayor will join us, and we'll ask some of those same questions to him. When we come back, does this Joe Burrow injury reinforce how the 49ers approach their quarterbacks? We'll do that next.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports. They bleed black and purple. It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on your local sports leader, Sactown Sports.
A sincere thanks to Marcos Brodon from the Sacramento Bee. And we're going to have the mayor on in an hour talk about this. Look, it's a development. It's a big development. I feel comfortable saying, and, you know, full disclosure, you know, I have a bit of a relationship with the owner of the Republic.
Yes.
But I'm not telling any tales out of school when I say, and this was reiterated yesterday, they haven't just been putting their feet up. You know, they want to go MLS.
Yeah.
And Kevin, while owning the team, funding the team, doing all the things he's doing, now he bought the English team.
Mm-hmm.
Meeting after meeting after meeting. I mean, he flew to Toronto and was meeting not that long ago with the new investor that was unveiled yesterday, new possible investor. They've been very focused, but it's a shrinking pool of people where you're like, hey, so it's $300-500 million for a team. It's another 500-600-700 whatever it's going to be for a stadium. It's Sacramento.
Right.
So not probably the hometown of the person coming in here. It's soccer. You know, this is not like open for business. Come on in. This is a tough get. At the same time, they're also fully prepared. If it's not MLS, they're going, okay, well, we've got a great USL team that's made the playoffs every year but one. And that was the year I believe that they missed, was the year after Burkle pulled out. And they were kind of all over the place then because they had been prepping for MLS. And I mean, they run a very successful franchise. I think this is a worst case scenario, worst case. And I'm air quoting worst case. We get a new outdoor downtown stadium in those rail yards, which is a blight on the front porch of Sacramento that can host concerts, that possibly could host Sac State football.
Yeah.
And that's good for you, Jason Ross, and everyone you work with. Want to mention, by the way, speaking of Sac State, Andy Thompson,
yes,
head coach.
New coach, stingers up.
Yeah, he's going to come in for a couple seconds in the 9 a.m. hour.
Studio?
Yes.
He better behave.
Right here. We'll take a picture and everything, maybe autograph.
Yeah.
If he's feeling in a good mood.
If he asks us.
If he asks us, maybe we'll ask him what it would be like to play. You know, what does it mean? What does a stadium mean to a program like that? There's a lot of really good things on the horizon.
A lot of potential.
That being said,
yeah,
I totally get the fatigue. I get
From fans. The starts and stops have happened.
We have been yanked around through no fault of any of the locals, but just by the league, by investors, by so many different things year after year after year. It's like, oh, well, this is going to happen. This could happen.
Yeah.
This could happen. Well, these guys have been like, we're not really going to say anything. We're just going to do the work on the down low.
Right.
And when it happens, we'll let you know.
I don't know, claim to know all the inner workings of all this stuff. But to me, Dave, it seemed like part of the appeal for those that got involved with Golden One Center was all of the available property adjacent to it.
Yes.
So the owners, yeah, we're buying the arena. But it's also, oh, I own maybe this garage and this restaurant or this territory. There was a lot more money to be made there consistently.
Yes.
These big ticket items you're talking about, whether it's, you know, expansion fee and or stadium, is there other potential?
Yes.
For okay.
There absolutely is.
There had to be, I felt, to really be an investor in that.
And we're going to have a mayoral race coming up here in a couple of years. And whether it's our friend Dr. Pan, Steve Hansen, who is a yes vote on the arena, or any of the other candidates, you also hope that that's somebody that's vision-oriented. And God knows there's a lot of problems with Sacramento that needs addressing as well. But in my vision and I will not be running this time, by the way. But eventually,
this time, I like there's a little caveat on there.
I'll run eventually. I'll win that thing. And when I am mayor, if it hasn't started already, I'm totally doing it. I just can't do it while I work.
No, did you say I'll win that thing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure I heard it right.
I'm not going to run if I can't win.
Okay.
No, I'll win that thing.
What's your slogan?
Let's do it. Has anybody done that?
Go with that.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Uh-huh. Whoever it is needs to have the vision to understand that. We are very, very close to a reality where you have Golden One Center, which is a state-of-the-art arena. You have an outdoor stadium that is a carriage ride away. And then here's something I've always wanted for Sacramento that is as doable or more than any city in the United States. We should have the mother of all river walks. We have two. We have the Sacramento River. We have the American River, the confluence right there. There is no reason why you can't design a river walk down there that almost connects those districts. And now all of a sudden, you have this downtown core that was nothing 10 years ago, 11 years ago, it was nothing. And now you've got multiple stadiums, events happening. Oh, hey, here's what's the band you like? Coldplay. Coldplay's playing downtown. And then afterwards, we're going to go take a ferry ride down the river walk to eat dinner at the place. And then
get ice cream.
Yeah, get ice cream. And what a wonderful night. And all that money. When we were on the RV trip, Mick Cornett, the mayor of Oklahoma City, it's my favorite quote from the whole thing. He said, you cannot be a suburb of nothing. Mm. And the strength of a city is entirely tied to the continuity and power of the core. And that quote has always stuck with me. I think it's an incredible way to look at things. And as Sacramento gets into that next generation that our kids and their grandkids are going to be able to enjoy, I think the last 10 years and the next 10 years of this city are going to be quite literally the most important since the days of the gold rush. It's going to be the most advancement, and that's also going to bring, hopefully, if the state can get it together, business, businesses, big businesses. We need to be a business-friendly, and that's my platform. Am I basically running right now?
What that sounds like it.
My goodness. Speaking of running, Joe Burrow was running yesterday.
And not well.
No, he was rolling to his right in what was a seemingly a very normal,
just innocent
rollout. Yeah,
rolled to his right, looking downfield, and then grabbed him.
Yeah, and you know you talk about reassessing training camps, reassessing all. I said I want to see statistics, right. And one of the stats I would like to see. I'd like to see how much weather involves, like, because you've got cramping, you've got dehydration, you got so many things weather can help cause these issues.
Mm-hmm.
And the Niners, who have their training camp in Santa Clara and are certainly not immune to training camp injuries, but it makes you look at the Joe Burrow situation, and if Joe Burrow ain't playing, the Bengals are screwed.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that has playoff aspirations, made the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. And that goes back to the question I had yesterday. Look, if the Niners seemingly are locking in on Purdy at one, they've got to lock in on a QB2. Does QB3, if that's Lance or Donald, become an asset enough to where you go, team like the Bengals or team insert another team that, you know, this injury doesn't appear to be that serious?
Yeah, it looks like he'll be back.
But there will be someone, unfortunately, Dak Prescott last year that misses, maybe it's not the whole season, but 10 games, and you go, hey, we need 10 games of a legit fill-in because we got a team that can do something. And I just don't know if the 49ers might be in that spot.
And no offense to the backup for Joe Burrow, former Bronco great Trevor Siemian, or Folsom's own Jake Browning.
Hey, that's where he is.
Third string, that's where he is. I'm just saying that at least as of now, Jake is not Joe Burrow. Still holding out hope. Jake's young, but, you know, always rooting for the local kids. All right, we will take a break. God, Jake Browning's 27. Are you serious? Oh, that's going to depress me all day long. When we return, we've got Sean Payton going scorched earth.
Yeah. Let him have it.
And obviously the Burrow injury, that's coming up at 8:13. Coming up next, though, let's go to the Niners training camp yesterday. Let's recap that, see what we got online too at SacktownSports.com. We're right back.
Sacktown Sports has all your 49ers preseason coverage.
Nick Bosa right through the middle, throws down Matthew Stafford.
Ooh. Nick Bosa is a wrapper and wraps tight underneath.
Backwards pass to McCaffrey, and he's going to throw downfield wide open. Brandon Ayuk, touchdown! Christian McCaffrey can throw!
Catch every 49ers preseason game on Sacktown Sports.